every woman's heart is brimming with love.
Do it!
Some are an empty vessel, waiting for evil to pour in.
You know you want me.
A streetwise woman takes the law into her own hands.
You wouldn't want her in your town. You wouldn't want her around anybody that you knew.
A spoiled brat lives out her fractured fantasy.
Kemi went into gruesome detail about how to dismember a body.
And a college student takes her partying way too far.
There's always one more thrill. Always. The only problem is, she employs the devil to help her get that thrill.
These deadly women are devoid of emotion, killing just for kicks. They are heartless. Sunrise in Phoenix, Arizona, 2009. The daily struggle of life begins in a working class area.
It's a neighborhood with lots of street life, you know, and people who don't have a lot of money.
One of those getting by on the fringes is 33-year-old Angela Simpson.
Let me help you with that.
She's engaging. She has a personality. She's friendly. You might have thought her a little odd, but she was very, very pleasant.
Well, aren't you a nice girl?
Maybe.
This is a young woman who is very bright.
That's cute, man.
But Angela has a dark side. She funds a drug habit by turning tricks.
Hey, sugar.
In her mind, she doesn't just walk these streets. She owns them.
Angela may see herself as the only sane person in an insane world.
Here's a 10, a convicted sex offender is offered to be chemically castrated.
An insane world she wants to set right.
Sex offenders like him should be punished.
By enforcing her own moral code.
We need to get him.
Her, you know, life every day was seeking out the people that she thought she needed to take care of in the sense of extract some retribution.
Filthy pig.
Angela Simpson sees herself as an avenging angel.
Believing she has the moral high ground. In August 2009, Angela and an accomplice break into the home of a known sex offender.
Come here!
No!
Who are you?
Get up!
Deciding that you are going to sit as a judge, jury, and executioner, that takes a decision to do it and a will to follow through. And Miss Simpson clearly had that.
Shut up!
Angela terrorizes the man, steals his money, and leaves him tied up with the promise she will return.
We'll be back.
But he escapes the binds and calls 911. Police will soon discover he is not Angela's first hostage.
Something happened somewhere in Angela's background to turn her into the type of person that received pleasure out of inflicting pain.
It might have begun in Angela's early life.
her childhood was chaotic. I believe she was in and out of foster care, abuse, both physical and sexual, I believe, at various times in her life.
As she grows up, addiction dulls the pain, but costs her dearly.
Hey, Mama. How my babies?
She loses custody of her kids.
I'll be back soon.
Her natural mother was the primary caregiver for them because of her criminal conduct, her criminal history.
The world hasn't been kind to Angela, so she wants to make it right by assuming the role of the enforcer of these streets. 46-year-old Terry Neely admires this powerful woman.
Fine.
He's often confined to a wheelchair. And to impress Angela, he says he's close to the local cops.
Heard about the crackdown?
What crackdown?
Cops are doing raids around here.
That's so.
And that clearly was the wrong thing to say to somebody like Angela Simpson.
She was a criminal herself, after all. People who are snitches are certainly looked down upon amongst those who commit crimes.
Stop.
He's a frickin' snitch.
Terry's not a snitch, and he's boasting to the wrong girl. The misunderstanding will seal his fate.
It was the worst mistake he ever made.
In a working-class area of Phoenix, Arizona, on August 2nd, 2009.
Fancy running into you, handsome.
Terry Neely is hoping to impress Angela Simpson.
You want me?
And yeah. It seems to be working. Angela rules these streets. She decides who stays, who goes, and who lives.
You don't need that.
Or not.
You wouldn't want her in your neighborhood. You wouldn't want her in your town. You wouldn't want her around anybody that you knew.
Take a seat, sweetie.
She's very, very dangerous.
As self-proclaimed avenger of the streets, Angela believes Terry is a police snitch and wants her revenge.
Kinky, are we? Hey, careful.
When she learned that this man was at least boasting about being a snitch, that was good enough for a death sentence, as far as she was concerned.
Do that for.
In Angela's world,
filthy snitch.
Murder is too kind.
I just said those things so you think that I'm
important. Shut up!
Terry has to be taught a lesson.
I think she chose this guy as much because she didn't like him, and the snitch thing was an excuse.
I'm not a snitch.
Shut up!
She could have killed him quickly, but that wouldn't have been any fun for her.
Angela moves from avenger.
Look in the mirror!
To torturer.
She made him watch in a mirror. That was just adding more to his anguish.
Look in the mirror, you filthy snitch!
The scenario is about as horrific as it gets. She beat him, bashed him with a tire iron.
Angela is a truly, truly evil woman.
Terry is left bound overnight. And the next morning...
You don't have to do this.
Stop
please.
Your begging.
There's more.
Please, stop. You can stop.
Stop. Stop your whimpering.
Please.
A 3-inch nail.
Stay still!
Just get up!
Angela did unspeakable things to Terry.
You're pathetic.
It seems nothing is too cruel for Angela.
The pain and suffering it caused her victim...
Open your mouth.
...was enjoyable for her.
Open your mouth! Open your mouth!
That's why she did it over a 3-day period. For the sadist, once the victim dies, the party's over.
The Avengers party finally ends.
Hey! Not so feisty today, are you?
Finally, tying a cable around his neck and bringing it to an end. She said her one regret is that she brought it to an end too quickly. Wished this had dragged on for 2 or 3 more days.
That's what you get for being a snitch.
There is one final indignity.
She used some sort of sharp instrument and severed his limbs in order to make him more compact. He was stuffed into a barrel.
When Angela was done, she threw Terry's body parts in a trash can and lit it on fire. To her, he was just a piece of garbage.
But there's one loose end the Avenger has forgotten. Terry's wheelchair is found outside Angela's apartment. And inside, Terry's blood. Angela's questioned, and without hesitation, lays out her ideas about justice.
She wanted to talk about what she did. She was proud of her handiwork.
A full confession.
Do you feel guilty? What? Killing a snitch?
She loved telling the story.
Why did you make him watch himself in the mirror?
There was just utterly no BS about it.
Because he had to see what he deserved.
She did it. She took credit for it proudly and said she'd do it again.
Angela Simpson proudly pleads guilty. In 2012, she's sentenced to life for first-degree murder, kidnapping, and abandonment of a body.
She's not ever eligible to be released from prison.
But the Queen of Justice doesn't think justice has been served.
Something you don't see very often is someone just immediately after conviction saying, they gave me too light a sentence. They should have given me the death penalty.
The reasons for Angela's cruel crusade remain uncertain.
After Angela was arrested, she said that she'd had mental health issues for years, since she was 10 years old, but she didn't want any sympathy for that. Angela sees herself as just fine.
I don't think that Angela Simpson would even want to share credit with God and say that God told me to do it, as so many killers do. This was her stage, and nobody better step on it.
You don't always need hardship.
She had every advantage given to her.
To be heartless.
She had a deep-seated need to hurt those around her.
A life of privilege spawns a love of pain.
She became a predator, and she started looking for prey.
Kimmy wanted to be bad.
London, England. 6 miles from Buckingham Palace is the upscale suburb of Golders Green.
Some of the wealthiest people in the country live in parts of Golders Green.
The family of 15-year-old Kemi Abdullah is in the millionaire class.
Kemi was born into a very wealthy family. Her millionaire father was a very successful real estate agent.
What makes she do these things?
I don't know what you're talking about.
She had every advantage given to her and the security that money gives.
Don't walk away from me, Kemi.
I don't care about what you think of me or anyone else.
By 2003, her parents have divorced. Kemi lives with her mother, who receives a healthy settlement.
Despite the fact that Kemi's mother was awarded $6 to $8 million in the divorce settlement, life didn't become any better.
Kemi is an unusual girl. She is single-handedly terrorizing the neighborhood.
She carried out a campaign of abuse against one particular family.
She physically attacked a neighbor who lived in the same street as her.
Kemi jumped out and attacked one man and broke his nose with a punch.
Pakistani lover! You're next!
Additionally, she hurled racial epithets at his wife. And these were neighbors. This was a very good predictor of future bad acts. Kemi wanted to be bad.
Before her sweet 16th, Kemi drops out of school and turns to petty crime.
She was an organized and very adept and prolific shoplifter.
She steals items, then returns them for refunds.
Kemi didn't need to steal anything. There was plenty of money. She stole because it was thrilling. That's why she did it.
But Britain's extensive surveillance network ends her illegal shopping spree.
Kemi thought she was very skilled at shoplifting, but she was arrested 4 times and finally sent to a juvenile detention center for 6 months.
In the lockup, Kemi uses her spare time to try her hand at writing.
She wrote an 18-page document about how to rob and kill old people and make money from it.
Kemi went into gruesome detail in her writings about how to dismember a body, including cutting out the heart and wrapping it in plastic.
So, Kemi, can you tell me what this is all about?
Her words are scaring the center's staff, but she reassures them.
This is just a novel I've been working on. Yeah.
She insisted that the document was purely a piece of fiction because she was planning a novel.
Really?
Yeah.
So you want to be a writer?
Sure do.
Authorities believe her. And after 3 months, they let her back into the community.
Kemi must have been very convincing because this document was so graphic. It's hard to imagine how anyone who read it didn't realize immediately what it meant.
Authorities have no idea what they've done.
Writing it down made it clear for her and made her feel good. This was a very, very important signal for the future.
2005, London, England. 16-year-old wild child, Kemi Abdullah, is out of juvenile detention. But she doesn't move back in with her mom.
I hope you've learned your lesson.
Of course, Daddy.
All right, give me a look.
She moves in with her father.
She was released, ostensibly, into the care of her father, but also under supervision of social services.
But it's not long before Kemi is back to her old bad habits.
She was involved in organized shoplifting, which was proving very lucrative for her.
Despite her dad's best efforts, Kemi's criminal behavior is getting worse.
He could provide her with a very good life, but that wasn't good enough for Kemi.
Kemi's father noted that she seemed to be coming at obsessed with money.
This way.
To earn quick bucks, Kemi has a few more tricks up her sleeve.
Kemi liked the high life, but she didn't want to live the straight and narrow life to get to it. So she started working as a call girl.
Anxious?
Oh, yes, silly me.
Stealing and prostitution aren't enough. Kemi is obsessed by the story she wrote in juvenile detention. She wants to act it out.
She became a predator and she started looking for prey.
Kemi writes about robbing old people and remembers a friendly neighbor in Golders Green.
Amanda was an 84-year-old Jewish woman, lived in Golders Green all her life, lived there with her husband Leonard, who was aged 81, and they had a very, very good family life together.
Kemi started to observe Anne's house to see the comings and goings.
March 19th. 2005. Leonard Mendel goes out on an errand, leaving his wife home alone. Kemi seizes the chance to visit her old neighbor.
She has selected her victim, an elderly, wealthy woman.
Kemi! Well, I haven't seen you for quite a while.
She's going to get into her house on the pretext of doing a school project. Anne Mendel knew her and wouldn't be concerned.
Annie Mendel would have been no stronger than a young child.
Well, come in here.
Thank you.
It would have been easy for Kemi to overpower Anne Mendel. On top of that, Kemi had the element of surprise.
Her morbid fantasies become a reality.
Kemi decided it was time to start putting her novel to good use.
The severity of the attack is best described by the number of blows that were rained on Anne Mandel with the knife. She had 14 wounds, all of a deep, penetrating nature to her back and upper body.
Anne Mandel lost consciousness in a matter of a couple of minutes, but it was not until she'd been terrified and suffered extreme pain from all the cuts, the slashes, and the stab wounds.
In her writings, Kemi imagines mutilating her victims and stealing their money. But for some reason, she stops short.
Kemi left the house with nothing. She hadn't actually taken any money, which was, of course, part of that manifesto she'd written about when she was in the institution.
That tells me that's really why Kemi was there. It wasn't the money. It was the mayhem and the murder.
When Leonard returns home, he thinks his wife's collapsed and calls for help.
When the police arrived and pulled up the coats, they realized that she'd been stabbed to death.
The attack is so brutal, police believe the killer is a man.
I've never come across a case like this, not even during the 10 years that I was a senior murder investigator, of a woman carrying out a murder of this nature and to this ferocity.
A forensic sweep of the crime scene reveals foreign DNA. When it's checked against England's criminal database, there's a match to a 17-year-old girl who spent 3 months in detention.
The DNA trace that we were unable to obtain led to us identifying Kemi Adeola.
Kemi is charged with Anne Mandel's murder. At trial, Kemi's novel, perfectly describing the crime, seals her fate.
At her trial, Kemi insisted that she was not guilty and that the document she'd written was nothing more than a piece of fiction.
Fortunately, the judge and jury didn't buy it.
In 2006, Kemi Adeola is found guilty of murder. She is sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 20 years. Everyone is left struggling to explain what drove Kemi to kill.
The judge said that he believed Kemi had wanted to feel what it was like to murder someone in cold blood.
Nothing in her background should be used as an excuse or a rationale. She is just a thoroughly evil person.
Born into a world of money and privilege, Kemi is now among another select group. Those who kill for no good reason.
She wanted to be bad, and she accomplished that goal.
Alive with anticipation, she is ready.
A feeling of euphoria, of doing something that no one else has done.
To cross a line of no return.
They were bored. It was fun.
Just to see how it feels.
Let her run!
For what? For no reason at all.
Go.
Spring Break, 2010. 19-year-old college student Latonia Bellamy is back home in Jersey City.
Aww. What are you guys up to?
Just looking.
An ordinary girl with high hopes for the future.
She always wanted to do the right thing. She wanted to be a social worker, and she just wanted to help troubled youths.
19-year-old Shaquan Bellamy is ready to help celebrate.
Anything for a home-cooked meal.
Latanya is cousins with Shaquan Bellamy. They were friends since they were young.
But the cousins' lives have taken very different paths.
So how's college, cuz? One big party, I bet.
No way. I study hard.
Latonia's always been a good girl. Shaquan.
Well, I'm going out to a party now. You want to come?
A rebel.
He's a bad boy. He's got a lot of experience in the street.
I'm so in.
Latonia, she had never really been in a lot of trouble before, but she's looking for it on this day.
I'll look after her.
The good girl and the rebel are going to party.
When we hear about a college kid being home on spring break, we think fun, beach, smart kid. None of that was true in this case. Latonya Bellamy was out for a thrill.
As the volume rises, inhibitions fall. Latonya's primed for a night like no other.
Latonya took illegal drugs and a lot of alcohol that night. It was fun.
30 miles away in New Brunswick, another party has just ended. 25-year-old Nia Hack and 27-year-old Michael Muccioki are on a high of their own. Their engagement.
The engagement party was perfect. The whole night was great. All you could see was people smiling, taking pictures, congratulating both Mike and Nia. It was a very great event.
Kenneth Simpson was there that night, sharing his friend's joy.
When you saw them in the room, you knew that they loved each other.
Young professional college graduates, Nia and Michael have their whole lives ahead of them.
They're on the doorstep to happiness. They were painting that white picket fence together, you know? They had found love.
The world is theirs for the taking. Until they head back home to Jersey City. They think they'll soon be tucked in bed. Latonya's night is just starting. She and close friend, 19-year-old Darmelia Lawrence, are in the mood to experiment. She wants to do something she's never done before.
Where'd you get that?
There's always one more thrill. Always.
That's real?
The only problem is she employs the devil to help her get that thrill.
How'd you get that?
Shaquan.
With these.
Has just what she's looking for. Guns.
Let me hold one.
Latonia says, I've never fired a weapon before. I don't know what it's like to fire a gun. I want to know what it's like to fire a gun.
I want to shoot a gun.
That seems like it'll be some fun.
Let's go shoot a gun.
Young people have a tendency to do bad behavior in a group that they would never do on their own. She went along with everything because she wanted to.
Supercharged with adrenaline, youth, and curiosity, 19-year-old Latonya Bellamy wants to know how it feels to fire a gun.
I want to shoot a gun.
She's a normal college girl, home from spring break. Things just got out of hand.
3 a.m., April 4th, 2010.
A bang bang, you're dead.
She's roaming the streets with 19-year-olds, Shaquan Bellamy and Darmelia Lawrence. When fate steps in. Nia Hack and her fiancé, Michael Mucciocchi, return home from their engagement party. Right in front of the trio.
You want to shoot a gun?
They were complete strangers, and it was a totally random event. Mike and Nia just pulled up at the wrong time.
Give me your keys!
Yo!
Just give him the keys!
Shaquan takes control.
Take him, yo! Take
please,
him here!
Take him.
At first, it seems like a carjacking.
They handed over the keys. They didn't fight back. They were completely, you know, going into trouble.
Take whatever you want.
They had the keys. They could have left. Their victims were terrified.
Yo, it's cool. Move! I said move!
But Shaquan says, get on the ground.
It's cool, man. It's chill.
And then he looks over at Latonia. You know what? Here's your opportunity now to fire that weapon. Because I got two people on the ground in front of us. And he blows the brains out of the man while his fiance is lying there on the ground.
Michael dies instantly. Latonia wants a new experience.
What you waiting for?
Now the opportunity is right there, in front of her.
Huh? Nia watched Mike be murdered, and then it was her turn. She must have been absolutely terrified.
Come on, do it!
How bad does Latonia want this new thrill?
Do it! What a rush!
If Latonia didn't want to murder two strangers, she had a gun in her hand. If she was being pressured or threatened by her cousin, she could have turned the gun on him and shot him.
This nice girl who wants to be a social worker. All of a sudden, she's some kind of monster. It's a complete 180.
It's possible Latonya's cousin influenced her, put pressure on her, but she didn't exactly run away. She went along with everything because she wanted to.
If Latonia has any remorse, she doesn't show it. The killers then rob their victims.
They stole cell phones, credit cards, cash, wallets, and they stole Nia's engagement ring as well. Which, you know, it just makes the whole thing so much worse.
Come on, go, 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 come on!
But they have no getaway car.
What are you waiting for?
They, you know, they went over the car to flee, but there was an anti-theft device on the steering wheel that they couldn't get off.
Steering wheel lock!
No, we gotta go, let's
go. So they just fled on foot.
A night of highs is at an end, leaving a horrific trail.
It's frightening to think you could simply park your car in front of your house and be dead a few minutes later.
They were innocent. They were striving to do good. Mike was successful in his career, and Nia was successful in their career, and they were ready to go on to the next phase of their life. And that was cut short for just a few dollars.
Days later, the high comes crashing down. Shaquan is arrested for an unrelated crime, and the police find his shotgun. It is full of crucial evidence.
Michael's DNA was found on the inside barrel of the shotgun. And this was probably due to when, you know, he was lying face down, Shaquan put the shotgun to the back of his head and fired.
Latonya thinks her life will go back to normal.
I can't wait to go back to college.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's been fun, but it's time to go back.
Enough, police!
But she's left a forensic trail.
They must have run.
Her fingerprints and DNA are found at the scene.
You're under arrest.
What? What's going on with Mom? Sorry.
The spring break party is over.
Michael and Nia had so many friends and family. Can they ever really punish someone enough for this?
Darmelia Lawrence pleads guilty to armed robbery and faces 40 years in prison. Shaquan Bellamy is convicted of double homicide and sentenced to life. Latonya Bellamy pays a heavy price for her night of thrills. She is convicted of 2 counts of felony murder and carjacking. Her sentence, life plus 30 years with a non-parole period of 93 years.
When I first heard, it was a sigh of relief. But knowing that they're even in jail right now does nothing for me. I mean, at the end of the day, Mike and Nia will never be back.
To make sense of this senseless crime, Nia and Mike's friends create a fund in their memory.
We raise money at the restaurant that Mike and Nia had their engagement party at. We do that once a year. So far, we've helped 6 students, and we've given out over $7,000 to date.
Friends of the couple are giving young people a future, something Latonya Bellamy took from her victims and will never have herself. These deadly women didn't care about the consequences. Angela Simpson went from street crusader to angel of death. Kemi Abdullah was a bored rich kid seeking a horrifying new high. And Latonya Bellamy's teen rebellion took 2 innocent lives. Their pitiless acts exposed them as truly heartless. She's engaging.
She loved telling the story.
Flamboyant.
Hey, sugar.
She was proud of her handiwork.
And very, very dangerous.
The scenario is about as horrific as it gets.
To her, he was just a piece of garbage.
Angela has a heightened sense of right and wrong.
She thought that was a good role for her to have in life.
Terry had no way of knowing the woman he admired was a monster.
As a society, we all want the killers to be the drooling org who crawls out from under the bridge, and we can identify somebody like Angela Simpson, who got ticked off at a guy and decided to torture him for 3 days.
The family then embarked on living in various parts of the country.
Cammy's mother frequently uprooted and moved the children.
When she moves to Golders Green, Cammy finds an embracing community.
A lot of families live there. People know their neighbors. It's a place where you feel safe to live.
Are you all right, dear? I forgot my keys. You haven't locked yourself out again, have you?
Cammy's family live next door to a kind and gentle woman.
Look, come over and wait at my place. Come on.
Okay. Thank you.
84-year-old Anne Mendel.
Make you a nice hot chocolate.
She was a classic grandmother.
Anne doesn't realize Cammy is not the neighborly type.
Cammy Adeola was a very, very accomplished actress. She had a response in her head to any confrontation or any situation that she would have found herself in. When she was challenged, she became very, very emotional, very overwrought, arched her back, started mumbling and screaming. And that convinced the people to think that her reaction was so over the top that it must be true. She would convince people of her innocence by overreacting.
She soon started steaming again and he chucked her out of the house. She was so incensed by her father kicking her out that she went to his office and smashed it up.
Cammy then moved to a really nice part of Hampstead. She had no job, and despite that, she was having quite a good lifestyle.
At first, the police are baffled. The house hasn't been burglarized, and Anne Mendel has no known enemies.
The case was incredibly difficult in that the crime scene didn't offer any obvious forensic or evidential opportunities to me as a senior investigator. The motive for the murder of Anne Mendel was not obvious and couldn't be established.
Cammy later said the only reason the police found any of her DNA was because she'd held the old lady's hand when she helped her across the road the previous day.
She actually thought she could get away with it. But DNA doesn't lie.
You look at Latonia, and by all accounts, she didn't have this gangster lifestyle growing up. I mean, she went to college, she was from a good family.
All teenage girls experiment and push boundaries. No one could guess how far Latonia would go.
What made her snap? What flipped that switch in Latonia? Was it something that happened in childhood? Was it just something she wanted to do? Or is she just a psychopath?